Our study this morning is going to be on the ministries of Peter and Paul in the book of Acts. So, 2,000 years ago, the Passover week had come and gone. The crucifixion and the resurrection were complete. Christ had appeared to the 11 and others after his resurrection. And there he was telling them that those things spoken of him in, and we'll look at that, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 44. And these are what he was saying after his crucifixion and resurrection. Verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Those are the three great divisions of the Hebrew Bible, or the Old Testament: the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms, after the resurrection of Christ had been fulfilled. Actually, it has to do with the great subject of the whole Bible, which is Christ himself. And he is then there telling them that they should be witnesses of these things. Now, let me just point out something. We cannot be witnesses. A witness is somebody who has actually seen something happen. And these disciples and these Christians at that time, they had witnessed the crucifixion of Christ. They had seen his resurrection from the grave. And they were to be witnesses, specifically witnesses of that which had occurred. And then we read, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture, and told them to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. So we pick up then later in that chapter, beginning with verse 45, the next verse. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So here's the witness part of it. "And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." What now? After this unbelievable event that had been prophesied for hundreds of years, a thousand years prior, what Now, here they are. Christ has gone on high. They've gone back to Jerusalem at his direction. Well, the interesting thing is, the writer of this that we just read also is a writer of the book of Acts, and that is Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. And this book of Acts that we want to look at this morning with regard to Paul and Peter's ministry during that time period. So turn in your Bibles to book of Acts chapter 1. Book of Acts chapter 1. I refer to the book of Acts as the battleground of truth. The book of Acts is divided into two main subdivisions. The first is the former treatise, and that is all that Jesus began to do and teach, and is found there in chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Then there's a subsequent section of the book of Acts that is found beginning in verse 15 of that first chapter. And there we see all that the Lord continued to do and teach through the ministries of Peter and Paul. So we got this short section right there at the first. The first 14 verses are a summary of the last chapters of Luke. Luke refers to it as a former treatise, which is a formal and systematic exposition of a subject in writing longer than an essay, and of course the book of Luke is quite long. But the summary of that, what he wrote prior in the book of Luke, is found here in the first 14 verses of the book of Acts. So, let's read those first 14 verses and see what Luke has to say. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former treatise, that's what he's referring to, the book of Luke. Have I made, O Theopolis? By the way, who's Theopolis? Anybody know? Who is Theopolis? Theopolis is nobody. It can be anybody that could become somebody. Theopolis in the Greek means loved of God. So Theopolis is not a person. Luke here is speaking to those who loved and who were loved of God. The former treatise have I made, that's Luke, he wrote, O Theopolis, all those loved of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, into the day in which I was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That was after his resurrection. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses and unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the other parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they were beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Can you see there then, that's a summary of what had taken place there in the latter part of the book of Luke. Verse 14 links Acts with Luke. So the book of Acts is the acts or the things that the apostles did after this resurrection, crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Acts proper, therefore, begins here at the 15th verse, because these first 14 are a summary of that which had already passed. And of course, here begins what I describe as the battleground of dispensational truth, beginning in this 15th verse, and the pitfalls that send so many astray in their search for the truth. To make mistakes here, beginning in this book, leads to a lack of understanding of the scripture, and particularly between the ministries of Peter and Paul. And to miss entirely the high calling of the mystery later taught by Paul while at Rome. This main section is largely occupied with the ministry, of course, of the two men. Peter, described as the apostle of the circumcision, and Paul of the uncircumcised. Take a look here. Turn in, if you will, to Galatians chapter 2. It's on page 1751 in your companion Bible. Galatians chapter 2. Paul speaking there in verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Here we see in one verse, Peter and Paul, their labels. Paul was the ministry, became the minister to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles. Peter to the circumcised. We find that same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul again, chapter 1, verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So immediately you have to begin to realize that Peter and Paul had two different ministries. There was a time when they were together, but overall, Peter ministered to the circumcised, the Jewish nation, and Paul preaching to the uncircumcised, the Gentiles. Peter dominates the first 12 chapters in this book of Acts. And then we find there after 12 chapters that he says he departs. Well, he departed all right. He got out of jail and they were probably trying to kill him and he took off, and we don't hear much from Peter. He eventually comes back to confirm Paul's ministry, but he departs. Paul enters the arena in the 8th chapter, and his ministry is then the theme of the greater half of the book. But the interesting thing is to realize the parallel between Peter and Paul's ministry. And I've listed several of them here. There's a lot more, I'm sure. But let me just give you an idea of how parallel their ministries are. First of all, they both received a new name. Peter became Cephas, which means the rock, something solid that he had to preach. Paul, who was named Saul, once the heavenly calling was revealed to him, his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And of course, that's when it was revealed that there was a heavenly calling. Because up until this time, no one ever thought about going to heaven. The nation of Israel, they just wanted a king and a kingdom, like the nations round about. But once they rejected Christ and they crucified him, at that point, something new happens. And it's revealed to Paul and it's revealed to nobody else. And his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And he brings to us then during the prison epistles the heavenly calling, or the fact that there are people who are going to go to heaven rather than just be in an earthly kingdom. Peter was baptized by the Spirit. Paul was separated by the Spirit. Peter was thought to be drunk on occasion. Paul was thought to be mad. Well, you got to understand these guys. Don't forget, they had supernatural powers. The average man can comprehend what they were doing. And so they were thought to be weird or mad or crazy. But what did they have? They had a supernatural power that since no longer exists. Peter's first sermon is found here in the second book of Acts. Paul's first sermon is found in the 13th book of Acts. Peter, he addresses in his first sermon, "Ye men of Judea." He's talking to the Jewish. You got to pay attention to these things. Who's he talking to in that first sermon? The men of Judea. Paul, he is talking to them that fear God. A broader message. He's speaking to men of Israel at that point because he's still traveling with Peter. He's still going into the synagogues first and so forth. But they both had a different audience. Peter heals a lame man. Paul, he also heals a lame man. Peter strikes with death. Can you believe that? No wonder he was thought to be crazy or mad. He had the power of death given to him by the Holy Spirit. What did he do? There was some kind of a land deal or whatever, and he struck Ananias dead. And Ananias' wife came over there to contest it, and he struck her dead also. No wonder he was thought to be crazy. That's power from on high. Paul, he's the same way. He struck a guy blind. So they were thought to be mad or crazy because of what they had. Peter's first miracle, he made a lame man to walk. By the way, it wasn't always something like striking somebody dead. They were very compassionate in what they did. He found a lame man to walk. And that first miracle is a foreshadowing of what he does or will and will do with the nation of Israel. They will one day walk again when they fall into the belief that Christ was the Son of God. Paul's first miracle, he blinded a Jew. That's also prophetic. The Jewish nation became blind to who Israel actually was, or who Messiah was. Here they've been looking for a king for hundreds of years, and all of a sudden Christ shows up and they crucify him because they don't believe who he is. Peter repudiates silver and gold. Paul does likewise. Peter is arrested on occasion. Paul is arrested on occasion. Peter stands before the council of the Jewish nation. Paul stands before that same council. Peter's actions produce fear, and you can imagine why. Do you realize that his shadow would heal? This is a real character when you think about it. He produced fear wherever he went, but yet at the same time, he was making the lame to walk. Paul's actions were the same. Peter's shadow healed people that were sick. Paul also, he sent a guy his handkerchief that he had blessed, and he healed a man just from that alone. No wonder they thought they were crazy. Peter was taught by a liberal, Gamaliel. Paul was taught by a liberal, Gallio. Peter communicates the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. They could just touch somebody and they would be healed because God gave them the power to do these miracle things. What was that for? It was to prove who Christ was. And the disciples, they had that same power to heal. Paul, likewise, at one point had that power. Eventually, though, that power has been taken away. Paul, at one point, lost it. We don't have it today either. Once it was taken away, it's gone. Don't be fooled into think that there's miracles today, that we can heal people and so forth. It's not true. This was a sign that was given to where they could realize who Christ was. Peter condemns sorcery. Paul does the same thing with Bar-Jesus. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. There again, power unlike anything we have seen before or since. Paul raised a man. He did the same thing from the dead. Peter's first convent was a Latin. Paul's first convent was a Latin name. Peter had visions. Paul had visions. Peter was worshipped almost. And Peter realized, no. You cannot worship me. These powers and things that I have are to show who Christ was. And Paul was almost worshipped because of what he could do. He could heal. Paul saying, no, don't worship me. What I do is to show who Christ really was. And you can imagine, If you had a sick child, and along comes Peter, well, Peter was delivered from prison by angels. Paul was delivered from prison by angels. After that, Peter immediately goes to Mary. Paul, he gets out of prison. He immediately goes to Lydia. Both said they were ready for prison and death for the Lord's sake. That's how committed they were to what ministries they had been given. Peter was not taught by flesh and blood, neither was Paul. They were taught by the Holy Spirit. Direct revelation to them by God Himself. Peter goes off to Babylon eventually. Paul goes to Rome. Now that's just some of the things that are similar to the two in their ministry. But this set of comparisons, when taken together with the teachings of both, provides, I think, irresistible evidence that the writer Luke was intending to show the absolute equality and the independence of both men in their separate ministries, because they definitely had two different ministries during this Acts period. And by the way, this is over a 35-year period of time that this takes place. Now, there are some aids, I think, to interpretation of this book of Acts. And there are four visible ways that the subject matter in Acts can be dealt with in disposition of the subject matter to understand it. The first is geographical. Locations often help to provide an index of things in the scripture, and it's true in this book. Jerusalem is a city of the great king, and Jerusalem covers the first 12 chapters. The scene then, after Jerusalem, moves to Antioch, a city midway between Jerusalem and the great Gentile world. And then third, in the last chapter of the frontier of a new revelation, Paul arrives at Rome. Therefore, keeping that in mind, we can indicate the dispensational movement in Acts like this. We saw there in chapters 1 to 12 is in Jerusalem. It then moves to Antioch. And that covers a couple of chapters, verses 13 and 14, and that eventually moves on to Rome. And so you begin to see a movement of geological location during that time. Now, second is kind of the ethnical look at it. Peter addresses, what did we say? Men of Judea. Or Jews. Eventually, we find in Antioch, Paul addresses men that fear God. And this would include anyone. Men that fear God. Also during that time, he was still speaking with Peter, and he was ministering to the Jews, but he was going still to the synagogues first during that period of time. Eventually, Paul then turns at the end there of the book of Acts in the 28th chapter. Paul then turns to the Gentiles. Why? Because the Jews by that time had totally rejected who Christ was, even though he had been reoffered to them. The kingdom had been reoffered to him during this period of time of Peter and Paul, the ministry during the Acts period. Christ had been crucified, but they had another chance to accept him as their Lord and Savior and as their king, and they didn't do it. They turned their backs on him. So at this point, when Paul at the end of the book, at the end of the book of Acts, he's ministering to Gentiles only. So you begin to get an idea of what's going on through this 35 year period of time. And then third, I would say the key words can be found that align with the racial and geographical subdivisions. When they all were come together in verse 6 that we read, the question was, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom? They were not concerned at that point when we read in this verse 6 in the first chapter. They asked the question, will you restore the kingdom? They were not concerned with something new, but something old. And Peter spoke of the time of refreshing, the time of restitution, which had been the burden of all of the prophets. So here in this period of time, we can add what I would describe as restoration. This is what was going on, as far as they were concerned, was restoration. Still the kingdom. They still wanted the kingdom. But with the ministry of Paul, a change comes there in Acts chapter 13 and 14. No longer is the gospel addressed to ye men of Israel or to Jews only. The door of faith is open to Gentiles. All men everywhere are called to repent during that next period of time. The reconciliation of the Gentile hinged upon the apathy of the Jew. Here the Jew still was being apathy towards Christ. And so the gospel, the grace of God, begins to be taught to the Gentiles and the nations of the world by the Apostle Paul. So we begin to see a different attitude in this here. Rather than restoration, it's reconciliation during this period of time. A little different story than what had been occurring before the crucifixion of Christ. However, even during all of this time, the miracles, the gifts, the hope of Israel, the position of the Jew first, are maintained right through this whole time period still. But the Jews at Rome, they refused. By the time we come to the end of the Acts period, at this latter part of the time, the Jews finally, totally refused to believe. Israel passed out of their present blindness. With their dismissal, the prophetic clock stopped. And we've studied the prophetic clock that's talks about back in Daniel chapter 9. When the nation of Israel was God's chosen people and they were still open to him, the prophetic clock of prophecy continued to advance forward. But once they were set aside and they refused to believe, the prophecies of the Old Testament, as far as the timeline, ceased to be. The miraculous gifts closed, and that's why I can't heal you today if you're sick. Sorry. It started with Paul. Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. That's a symbol. Thorn in the flesh is a symbol of sickness of some kind or other. And he prayed for the Lord to remove that thorn, to heal it 3 times, and it wouldn't happen. And finally, the Lord said, Paul, no. My grace is sufficient for all your needs. And that's where we are today. His grace is sufficient for all our needs. That's why I cannot heal you. That's why I don't have the gift of tongues. That's why I can't raise someone from the dead like Peter and Paul could, because they had been given this power from on high. The hope of Israel was suspended. Israel became, in the Old Testament, described as Lo-Ami. They are not my chosen people. The dispensation of the mystery begins, and we've studied that, of course, as we get to the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Paul became the prisoner of Jesus Christ. The prison epistles are born. And here we find ourselves today. So, we can add rejection. To this period of time. Restoration, reconciliation, but ultimately rejection. 3 key words found in the book of Acts. Now, there's one more feature that demonstrates the movement of the Acts of the Apostles from Jerusalem to Rome. The instances of both Peter and Paul, the message that they had was sent to a specific people. And we see that there in the book of Acts. Turn back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 25 and 26. Acts 3, 25 and 26. We are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Unto you first. We can add that. The gospel was unto them first during this period. Now turn over to chapter 13. Chapter 13. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. And so it was first to them, and eventually to you it's sent, including both Jew and Gentile. And then in Acts 28, turn over to the last chapter of Acts, Acts 28. Verse 28 and 29. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed. And departed there is not really a strong enough word. If you look it up in a Greek dictionary, it means to be divorced. They actually divorced themselves from anything to do with what Christ had done. And so we find out then later that during this period of time then that comes about after this, that there's really no difference then between the Jew and the Greek. This is what Paul teaches in later on. I can't write worth a nickel on this board. No difference between the Jew and the Greek today. Once Paul begins to drop the ministry to the Jewish nation, he begins to speak to Gentiles. And he teaches that there's no difference between Jew and Greek with regard to the heavenly calling, which was revealed to him, that there would be those that would go to heaven, and that had never before been revealed. Presently, we live in this time. Here's where we live. In what is referred to as the church of the one body in Christ. This is what is taught so much and confused with this. And you can't confuse them. You must realize the difference. One had to do with a kingdom that is yet to come. And you know what kingdom means? The word, you take it apart, it means the king dominates. And they didn't crown him king as a nation. They crucified him. So the king does not dominate yet. And today, here's what Paul's teaching about the heavenly calling. And that king will yet come in what is known as the second coming of Christ. And then will the nation finally accept him and will crown him king. And there we will have 1,000-year kingdom called the millennium. But there was this crucial point in Paul's ministry when Israel were dismissed and departed. The word, as I said, is too tame. It means to divorce themselves totally from anything that had to do with Christ as far as the nation is concerned. There is, of course, in this period of time in which we live, no difference between the Jew and the Greek. But as far as the nation is concerned, the nation has totally rejected who Christ was. And the recognition of these facts solves, I think, the discontinuance of the Pentecostal gifts. People want to know, why aren't my prayers answered for healing somebody? Why can't I lay my hands as a Christian on somebody? It says I can heal. Why is it not necessary to be dunked in water to be baptized. Where are all these blessings of Abraham that Peter and the 12 had? They're disappeared because of the rejection of the nation of Israel as a nation. Not talking about individuals. Your salvation is dependent upon your belief. But as far as the nation is concerned, all of those things were set aside until a future date with the second coming of Christ. And today it is strictly by the grace of God and belief in Him that we can have our salvation in Christ Jesus. I know this is necessarily a limited study, but I think it's the basis, if you'll take this to heart, for a deeper understanding of what the Scriptures are all about. You must see the difference in these things, the difference in Peter and Paul's ministry, the difference in what was being prophesied in the Old Testament, and the difference between what will one day occur into the future at Christ's second coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your magnificent record, this written word. We're thankful for the understanding that we can have. We pray that You will continue to guide and direct us, open our hearts and minds that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of You. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.